Believe in yourself, cause it starts with you, and then everyone else will believe you too. And if it looks like you're the only believer around, just keep on believing, don't put yourself down, just believe.
Our guest this week grew up on Bloomfield Hills, Michigan, earned a Doctor of Dental Medicine from the University of Florida. Since 1981, he's been the general dentist owner of Schmieding Dental Group, Inc. Since 2005, he's been the president of Searings Fund, which provides help to the underprivileged in Nepal. They find deserving children, young women, and families in Nepal and help change their lives through educational scholarships, medical care, and basic living assistance. He and his wife, Karen, have adopted 6 children from Nepal. His name, Dr. Peter Schmieding. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on 760 WJR. I'm Jack Rasula. This is Anything Is Possible. We're talking to Dr. Peter Schmieding. Since 1981. He's been general dentist owner of Schmieding Dental Group, Inc. Doctor, welcome. An honor to have you.
Well, thanks. I'm honored to be here, and I appreciate the opportunity.
All right. Let's go back. Bloomfield Hills. Talk about your childhood, your mom and your dad, please.
Wow. My mom and dad emigrated from Germany after the war, and were both dentists. They found out they had to redo their dental degrees, so my father went to dental school twice, University of Detroit, and my mother had children. And I was born in Royal Oak, Michigan, and moved to Florida when I was 14 after my parents divorced, and my mother and I moved to Florida.
What's the biggest thing you learned from Mom, and what's the biggest thing you learned from Dad?
Oh, boy. I learned a lot of dentistry from Dad, a lot of tricks, a lot of hints, a lot of practical experience. I learned toughness from my mother. She was an entrepreneur. She ran several businesses, and she was a hands-off mother. So I learned to grow up a lot on my own, and I was a self-starter from the very beginning, which served me well later in life.
All right. 45 years ago, you go to Ennis and Big Sky, Montana, and you start a dental group there. Why Montana?
Well, I originally practiced back in Naples, Florida, where I went to high school for about 16 years before moving to Montana in 1996. My wife and I decided to move west just to escape Florida and the crowds there, and we picked Big Sky, Montana, because it didn't have a dentist, and it had a ski area. It was close to an airport and university, and seemed like a perfect fit.
All right, Montana, the 4th largest state in the Union by area, but the 8th least populous state. You have about 1.2 million people. Montana's referred to as Big Sky Country, Treasure State, Land of the Shining Mountains, the last best place. Tell us about Montana.
Montana is a beautiful state. There are more cows than people. There's still a lot of wide open country. It does have 4 seasons. It can be very, very harsh in the winter and very nice in the summer. There's definitely 4 seasons, though, with the fall and spring, which differed a little bit from Florida, which was nice. And it's a great place to raise a family. It's a beautiful state. It's being discovered now a little bit by people, but it's still a pretty unpopulated area that has a lot of beautiful mountains and rivers and a lot of outdoor activities.
Nick Faldo was a commentator for PGA Golf for years. He won the Masters twice. And boy, you know, he moved out there, I guess, a few years ago. He's putting your state and your Big Sky Country on the map.
So. Yeah, well, a lot of people are moving here, leaving different parts of the country for various reasons to escape to a simpler lifestyle and a little bit lower cost of living, though it's getting more expensive as in certain areas of the state. But there's still a lot of wide open country here, and like I said, there's more cows than people. So,
okay, you've been practicing dentistry for 45 years. Talk about what it was like in 81 versus today, doctor.
Wow. A lot of things have changed. I remember being in dental school at the University of Florida and not wearing gloves. Things like implants and white colored fillings the technology has changed dramatically over the years, but some things never change in dentistry, and how you treat people and how you take care of your patients. Some things never change. So there's been technology advancements, but the way of running a good dental practice, it has not changed.
Preventing cavities. What's the best things we can do?
Diet, fluoride, and regular dental care. I mean, home care with a fluoride, using a fluoride toothpaste or a fluoride additive according to your dentist's recommendations, and having a good healthy diet are probably the two most important things. Then regular dental care for prevention is critical. And you do those three things and you'll minimize the amount of dental work that you'll need.
We're talking to Dr. Peter Schmieding. When we come back, we're going to ask him about the phenomenal love and ministry he and his wife Karen have for the people of Nepal. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on 760 WJR. Welcome back to Anything Is Possible. I'm Jack Rasula. We're with Dr. Peter Schmieding, and he and his wife, Karen, have a phenomenal love and a ministry for the people of Nepal. Doctor, why and how?
Very good question. When I met my wife, my present wife, back in the very late 90s, she was a professional high-altitude mountaineer. She'd been a professional climber all her life.
Wow.
And she had been, after going to Montana State University, she went to Nepal and pretty much lived there for 10 years, mostly climbing on Mount Everest. But she ended up climbing as a professional, paid professional climber. And when I met her, Nepal became part of my life. And we slowly but surely figured out that there was a tremendous amount of need among the people, especially young girls. Sarings Fund was born way back when in the early 2000s and has grown into the tremendous organization that it is now. We've helped thousands of young girls escape early arranged marriage and outright trafficking by placing them in English medium boarding schools and educating them through college. So it's turned into a life, a mission that's dear to my heart and has been very rewarding.
All right, Nepal consists of 31 million people, landlocked country in South Asia. I believe it has 8 of the 10 highest mountains in the world. Tell us more about Nepal.
Well, Nepal is the poorest country in the Eastern Hemisphere. It consists mostly of subsistence farming families. I would say 95% of the people in Nepal are subsistence farmers. It's one of the only countries on Earth that's never been conquered. It lies between India and China. It also has the most water of any country on Earth, but it is also very poor. And though education, for the most part, is free, young girls in rural areas of Nepal rarely get a chance to go to school. They're mostly married off early, or in the worst case scenario, sent away to work, often overseas. And so, it's a beautiful country. It's very poor, but the people are kind, and it's about 70% Hindu, maybe 20% Buddhist, maybe 5-10% Christian, and has some 117 ethnic groups, I believe, many with their own languages. So it's a very diverse country that's sort of stuck between India and China, and has a long history of, unfortunately, child exploitation, which is one reason we do the work that we do.
We're talking to Dr. Peter Schmieding. Doctor, you mentioned that Karen is a professional mountain climber. Did I hear you right that she has climbed Mount Everest?
She's been on 4 Everest expeditions. She's climbed almost every major mountain in the world, from McKinley to Aconcagua in South America to many mountains in the Himalayas, including Alma de Blom. She was the first woman to ever lead an Everest expedition. Back in the day, when she climbed in the 80s, they were all professionals. It was not commercialized as it is now. So she climbed with the likes of Rob Hall and Pete Hillary, son of Sir Edmund Hillary, Pete Athens, a lot of the great climbers, some of whom are no longer with us, and having died in mountaineering accidents. But she climbed with some of the greatest, and she was always a very careful climber, which is why she's still around. But she retired in 2006 when we began adopting children from Nepal. We made a joint decision that she would give up the high-risk mountaineering, seeing that we were going to be parents.
Okay, this begs the question. Did she ever climb Everest with a man named Dr. Peter Schmieding?
No, never.
Did you ever climb Mount Brighton? You remember Mount Brighton, when we skied Mount Brighton?
Yes, I did. I did. I skied it. I did climb Island Peak, which is a peak next to Mount Everest, 20,500 feet. I did climb that twice with my wife, but I'm no mountaineer. It was never my passion, but I do love being in the Himalayas. But my work has morphed into more helping young women and the people there with medical, dental, and educational assistance than actually mountaineering for myself. Those days are long gone.
Can you expand on life in Nepal today for a young woman?
Boy, depends on where you're from and the family you're from. For the average rural subsistence farming family, it's a tough row to hoe for a young girl. Education in Nepal is somewhat similar to the United States in that primary school is kindergarten through class 5, and they tend to be a number of primary schools such that kids can walk to school each day and go home at night. The problem begins when they pass out of class 5 and now go to secondary school, which are much farther apart, and that often involves needing to be boarded. And boarding costs money, and if families have any money at all, they send their sons. It's still a patriarchal society, and the girls are often at that time 13, 14 years old. They are either given away in arranged marriages or sent away to work. And that's where we come in. We try to identify young girls that are 10 to 12 to 13 years old that would not normally get a chance to go to school, and place them in English-speaking boarding schools and educate them. And that kind of breaks the cycle of poverty and exploitation that's been going on for centuries, really. It's remarkable to see how capable these young ladies are when they're given a chance.
We're talking to Dr. Peter Schmieding. If you want to learn more, www.searingsfund.org. When we come back, we're going to talk about that he and Karen have adopted 5 girls and 1 boy from Nepal. Now they're between 20 and 27. And I'm Jack Krasula, and this is Anything is Possible on 760 WJR. This is Anything is Possible. I'm host Jack Krasula. We're with Dr. Peter Schmieding. He and his wife, Karen, have adopted 6 children from Nepal. Tell us about them, Peter.
Well, it's been a long road. Back in 2006, we began adopting the first of 6. This was the middle sister of 3 biological sisters whose parents could not afford to raise them. It was a long and rocky road of fighting the U.S. State Department for visas, and was actually the subject of many a newspaper article, as it took nearly 9 months to bring Paulden to the United States. The rest of the children have followed over the last 15, 16 years, and the last 3 or 4 have actually been adopted more as adults over the age of 16. Adoption from Nepal is very, very difficult. Right now it's impossible to adopt children, but we eventually reunited the 3 sisters in 2014, and they now range in age from 20 to 27. Most are either at Montana State University or have graduated from Montana State University, and one is planning to be a doctor, and one is a dentist, and it's been a great experience. It's been a long road, a lot of work, and a lot of immigration law. Unfortunately, if you follow the rules, it's not always as easy as you might think, but with a little bit of perseverance and a lot of love, we've got all 6 in the United States now, and like I said, they're either attending Montana State or, in the case of one, hopefully going to attend dental school at the University of Colorado in Denver starting next year. So, it's been we've become like almost child collectors. And we just, one thing led to another, and one child, God just put these children across our path, and we just said, this one needs a home, and here they are.
Peter, what have these 6 angels taught you and Karen?
Oh, well, the best way to surmise it is, the Maya, we have an award-winning documentary film that can be seen at our website, that won Best Film at the London Mountain Film Festival and was also a finalist all over the world, including Banff in Vancouver. She often tells me how much I've done for her, rescuing her from a life of most likely being sent away to now where she's hopefully going to go to medical school. I tell her that she's done more for me than we've ever done for her. So it's very rewarding to see these girls go from where they had a very, very uncertain future to see them blossom into incredible young women and young man who's a civil engineer, what they've become just because someone cared and decided to make a difference in their lives.
If you want to learn more, www.searingsfund.org. You've also built an orphanage in Nepal with 300 girls.
Well, we haven't built an orphanage. We have supported an orphanage. We didn't actually build it. We are in the process, though, of building a dental hospital in Helambu, in the region of Nepal, where we do most of our work now. That's a separate website, which is helambuhealth.org, just like it sounds, H-E-L-A-M-B-U, health.org. That's a separate website and a separate nonprofit that we are just in the process of breaking ground to build a dental hospital in Helambu, which is the region of Nepal where we work, that has about 26,000 people, and they've never had a dentist there ever, and they've never had a physician there ever. And so people want to learn more about our work to build and bring dentistry and medical care to the Helambu region, they can go to helambuhealth.org and learn more there as well.
H-E-L-A-M-B-U-health.org.
Correct.
Right. You said, let me get this right, 26,000 people have never had basic health or dental care?
Correct. We did a survey of the region, and 96% of the people in Helambu have never seen a dentist in their lifetime. And that includes people of all ages. And I've had a small volunteer clinic that I run at about 9,000 feet up in Helambu. And every patient I see has really never been to the dentist and has horrific, horrific problems with their teeth. And you can't help but wonder how many people are actually dying of medical problems related to their teeth. So we're very excited to break ground and hopefully within 18 months bring year-round permanent dental care to the Helambu region where they've never had anything there for, you know, since the beginning of time.
Once again, helambuhealth.org. Peter.
Correct. Yes.
WJR has a man on Monday to Friday, 2 hours, by the name of Mitch Albom, Tuesdays with Maury. Do you know of him?
I've heard of it.
Okay.
I've heard of it.
He and Janine never had children. And when there was the hurricane earthquake in Haiti 15 years ago, they went and they started an orphanage in Haiti. The two of you could be brothers. What you are doing, what you and Karen are doing, are the equivalent of what Mitch and Janine are doing. Unbelievable.
Yeah. Somebody needs to do it. Somebody, you know, I've been seeing patients up in my little clinic for about 5 years now, and to see the pain and the suffering of mainly children that I see, I just said this is unacceptable. And so the idea actually for the dental hospital comes from the movie, the Helambu movie, that our award-winning documentary, which is titled Helambu. It can be found on YouTube, but also on our website. The idea for the hospital came from the film, when Maya, my daughter Maya, who's the main character, mentions that her life's dream is to bring a hospital to Helambu, because both her parents died when she was just 6 years old, and she feels that if they had had proper medical care, that perhaps they wouldn't have died at such a young age. So that started the process about 3 years ago, and now we're just about ready to break ground, and hopefully, like I said, in 18 months, we'll have a fully functional dental hospital and medical clinic that will be able to take care of the people in that region for the first time ever.
We're talking to Dr. Peter Schmieding, www.seringsfund.org. And I'm Jack Krasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on 760 WJR.
You've been listening to your inspirational fireside chat, Anything Is Possible, for nearly 20 years.
This is Anything Is Possible, and I'm Jack Krasula.
But what has Jack been up to lately? Search at AIP Speaker Series and find out. Jack has interviewed thousands of historical voices, some of whom have offered him their philosophy of life, like Tom Izzo.
And Tom writes, "Work hard, persistence always wins out, discipline is the highest form of love. Stay humble."
The great Ernie Harwell.
"My aim is to do justice, love mercy, and walk humbly with God."
And the voices of our generation.
"I am reassured continuously that His unfathomable love and mercy are the greatest gifts of my life, and my constant source of strength, reassurance, and guidance. His Holiness, Pope Francis."
At AIP Speakers Series is the YouTube channel where all of these jewels can be heard, including some of Anything Is Possible's greatest guests.
And we're with Mitch Albom.
The Little Liar is really a book about truth and lies and the price we pay when we lie.
This is Anything Is Possible, and with Tom Watson.
My father loved to play with the pros at the club. Developed a very quick friendship with Stan and played some golf with him. And then he would ask me to play golf with him and Stan.
Our guest this week was born with a rare disorder characterized by the absence of arms and legs. His name, Nick Vujicic.
Something that every human being actually deals with, Jack. It's the choice of continuing to believe or giving up.
And recordings of the AIP Speaker Series events at St. John's Resort. Go to YouTube and search at AIP Speaker Series. It's free. And remember,
anything is possible.
Spohom. I'm Jack Krasula. This is Anything Is Possible. We're talking to Dr. Peter Schmieding. He and his wife, Karen, are angels for the people of Nepal. Here's a statement. "Each year, as many as 20,000 girls from the poorest parts of rural Nepal are trafficked." Is that true, Peter?
It is. It is. And the figure could be even higher. And one of the reasons we are working in the Helanbu region of northern Nepal is historically that's been one of the worst regions for trafficking. The Tamang and Yolmo ethnic groups there have been marginalized and exploited for centuries. And two of our six children are from that region, grew up there. And we've decided to really focus our work there so that we could make a difference in a particular region in my lifetime. And we've made a huge difference in the culture there, just in the number of girls that are no longer being trafficked and married off, but getting educated instead.
Okay, I quote you, "An English education can change the life of family and beyond. And this great gift can be given for about $600 a year." That's all it takes.
Yeah, boarding school, the main boarding school we use in Helanbu is the Malamchigang Secondary School in Malamchigang. The cost for a year, of including education, room and board, uniforms, books, everything from soup to nuts, is about $700 a year now. And it's also the subject of the Helanbu film that can be seen on our website. But it's the finest school in Nepal. It's had the highest test scores of any school in the region for 17 years in a row. And the girls that get a chance to go there come out going to universities. About 70% of them get a four-year degree through sponsorship, through Sarings Fund. And it breaks the cycle. When you educate the women and the family, it breaks the cycle of poverty and exploitation that's been going on for, you know, for generations.
All right. Your mom took you and your brother Reinhold to Naples years ago.
Yeah.
Your brother Reinhold, he stayed. He's done okay. And he started something called Arthrex, A-R-T-H-R-E-X. Mm-hmm. It's unbelievable. He's been very, very helpful to you and Karen. Talk about Reinhold and his company, Arthrex.
Well, Reinhold is a self-made billionaire that started a company that has exploded in size. He's been a very strong supporter of Sarings Fund for many, many years. They're the main contributor to the new Helambu Hospital that we're building. He came to the Naples area many, many years ago, 20, 25, 30 years ago. And he started Arthrex from the basement of a friend in Connecticut, and it's grown to be one of the largest orthopedic and arthroscopic surgical supply companies in the world. And it's a great success story, and, you know, the American dream personified.
Whenever I've had somebody on the show these past 21 years that deal with the poorest of the poor, they regularly say that I've learned much more from the poor than I ever did from the rich. Why so, Peter?
It's hard to explain, but to meet a young girl whose chances in life are slim to none, as we see in the Helambu region, and to see them flourish with an opportunity to become something, and the gratitude and the love that they give back is an experience that you just you don't experience with people that have already been successful. These are people that come from the poorest of the poor and have no hope. And then all of a sudden, a stranger from the other side of the earth takes an interest in their life, oftentimes never meeting them. And to see them transformed into these incredible young women and how incredibly smart and hardworking they are. It's something that's hard to duplicate elsewhere.
Websites again. Searings Fund, T-S-E-R-I-N-G-S Fund.org, and Helambu, H-E-L-A-M-B-U Health.org. I quote you now. You've said in the past, God has called me to do this.
Absolutely.
Why?
Who knows? Who knows? It's my chosen. It's my path. It has developed over the years. I feel I'm a man of great faith, but I'm a man that lives my faith through my actions. I think this is what Jesus would have done to help the poorest of the poor become something. And I've been given the opportunity and the place and the connections and the opportunities to do this. And it just has become my life. It's just the way it is.
Dr. Schmieding, we're all going to die. And someday when you die, someday when Karen dies, you're both going to hear the greatest six words we can ever hear. Well done, good and faithful servant. That means we're up there forever, utopia eternity. Peter Schmieding, when you hear from our Maker, well done, good and faithful servant, what are you going to say to God?
Boy, it's a tough one. It was all because of his guidance and his insight and instilling in my heart the desire to do it. It just seems like the right thing to do, and it's just my place. And I think others, if they were in my place, would do the same thing.
All right, one final thing. Tell us about Hero Camp.
Well, Hero Camp is a fun. We choose 18 to 20, usually 14 to 16-year-old girls from among the girls that we sponsor. And it's like a women's retreat, 3 to 4 days of seminars and fun activities, sort of bonding and self-esteem building. And we've done it every year for, oh gosh, I don't know, 7, 8 years at least. And it's really turned into a wonderful program. And people can get involved in that as well by donating through Sarings Fund. They can help send a young girl to Hero Camp each year. And it's a really great chance for the girls to experience things that they've never seen, like a hotel, an elevator, a flush toilet, the city. It's an amazing thing to watch, see them as a Hero Camp and how they end up at the end of Hero Camp. It's a big transformation. It's very cool.
Searings Fund, T-S-E-R-I-N-G-S, fund.org. Dr. Peter Schmieding and Karen, you guys are amazing. Thanks for all you do. Please keep up the great, great work.
Thanks, Jack. I appreciate it.
Please join us next week. Until then, I'm Jack Prisullo. Thanks for listening. Make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible. Spohom.
Believe in yourself.